Wonderful day to worship the Lord. Wonderful day to remember all of the blessings that we enjoy because of Calvary. If you are a visitor with us today, please know you are more than welcome. Just glad you are with us. If you have never been with us for a service at Pinnacle Church, you'll find out we're a pretty laid-back group. We like to laugh. We like to encourage one another. We do preach, teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That very much is the core center of everything that we are about. But beyond that, we're not terribly uptight. We're just not. And we hope you feel at home and will join us whenever you are available and can. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Can we do that? Master, we love you with all of our heart, and we are so grateful for the opportunity that is given to us to gather together to worship. Lord, we recognize that on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have sacrificed even their lives that we might enjoy these freedoms. And Lord, as we watch the news and we read in the newspaper, the people who constantly denigrate our country and our principles, our heart is broken because these men and women who died, died for them to have the freedom to make idiots of themselves. Lord, we are so very, very grateful for those sacrifices. But beyond that, we are grateful for the sacrifice that you made for us, that we might have eternal life. That's the one that really matters. So as we gather today to remember and talk about things that are worth remembering, things that are valued, Lord, help things to stick in our minds. Help things, Lord, to cause us perhaps to refresh and renew our commitment to you. We bless you today, Lord. We love you and thank you for the privilege of gathering. Now, let our worship bring a smile to your face. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph.
Amen. Praise God. What a great day. I'm glad to be an American. Anybody else here glad to be an American? All right. Let's do this song called At Calvary. Great tune. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, and there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there's multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, and there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. sinful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrims' feet whose stern impassion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for heroes prove in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. For patriot dream that see beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea, and crown thy good from sea to shining sea. God bless America. You're the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam, God bless America, you're my home sweet home. Stand beside her and guide her with a light shining down from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, they're wide with foam. My lovely America, you're my home, my sweet home. God bless my lovely America, my home, my sweet home. Sing with me. God bless America, my home, my sweet home. God bless my lovely America, my home, sweet home. My home, my sweet home.
Wow. Outstanding, Park. Every week he just seems to outdo himself. Joseph, we love you and we appreciate you. I do have to tell you, though, when it comes to singing America the Beautiful, unless you're Brother Ray, you can't sing the song. Ray Charles had the arrangement.
Amen. Amen.
And Brother Ray sings that song, and that's all there is to that.
Amen.
Memories. Barbara Streisand had a great big hit song that started out with memories. For most of us, our memory is not what it used to be, and probably isn't going to be in the future. And the only good part of that is that yours is getting worse too, and you won't remember what I forgot. That's a good thing. A couple of housekeeping matters, if I might, as we kind of launch into things. We're completely redoing our website and going to update it and bring it a little more current, hopefully make it a little more useful. If you have photographs of stuff that's gone on around Pinnacle Church, people, events, and things, if you would make those available in an electronic format to Mike Dane as we create this. Mike's going to do template stuff. That would be helpful, and we would be grateful for that. We want to make our website look something like what we look like now, and move forward together. So if you do that for me, next week we'll start a series for the summer. The series is called "What Do I Do When?" And then you can fill in the blank. There are all kinds of things that present in life in situations that just happen. And as believers, they're not something we spent 4 years in college preparing for. Life just happens. And so the concept is, what do I do when? And on the 11th of June, 2 weeks from today, Steve Gear will be here, And I had given Steve and Adam kind of the list of things we were going to do through the summer and let them pick one. And so Steve came back this week and he said, oh, I want to do, what do I do when I'm depressed? That sounds like fun. And if you know Steve Gear, that's typical Steve Gear humor that fits. So on the 11th, Steve will be talking about depression. So for all of you who are depressed, please be here on the 11th. I probably won't be. I'm in good shape. Memories. They fail us. You'll know the old joke about the three old widow ladies that lived together, and one of them got up to go upstairs. She got halfway up the stairs, and she called downstairs. She said, was I going up or coming down? And the one said, you were on your way up to bed. Okay, so she was on up, and the second one got up and walked in the kitchen, and she said, what did I come in here for? And the second sister said, with a trace of irritation, you went in to make a sandwich. Oh. And then she said, I am so glad I'm not like you. And she knocked on the table beside her and immediately got up and went to the door and said, who's there? Now, if that fits, it is what it is. We are a forgetful people. We just are. Our minds are crowded with so many things. And forgetfulness, I have concluded, is not necessarily a respecter of age. So we've come today to put up some ideas and to share some thoughts with you of things that are worth remembering. We do things like wrapping a string around our finger or putting a rubber band on our wrist to help us remember things. We do all sorts of things. Well, there are scriptures all the way through the Bible where God instructs his people to remember. Having a remembrance of the past and having an anchor in what has been is important to all of us. The passage of scripture that was read today in Deuteronomy was very important because Israel was moving forward now into the next phase, if you will, of their existence. And God was saying, it's important for you to remember where you have come from. In the 13th chapter of Exodus, Moses said to the people in these words, remember this day when you came out of Egypt, out of the place of slavery, for the Lord brought you out of here by the strength of his hand. Nothing leavened may be eaten. This was at the Passover time, and Israel had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and they were now free. And the first words of Moses to them was, don't forget that God delivered you from freedom. And on this Memorial Day, as we begin summer, with all of the hot dogs and hamburgers and poolside and on the lake and all the fun things that we do all summer long, with all of that, don't forget the most important thing that you will ever know is that Jesus Christ died that you might have life eternal. We have a relationship with an almighty God. Don't ever forget it. And don't ever get so caught up in everything else that somehow that gets covered or hindered or shadowed, because there is nothing more important than that knowledge of Christ. Wherever I go and whatever I preach to you and teach you on a Sunday morning, at some point in the middle of all of that, I will make that point, because there is nothing that is more significant than Jesus Christ died that we might have life. And belief and reception of that sacrifice for us is our celebration of Passover. That's our celebration of being delivered from sin. They were not to ever forget where they had come from. I have a very dear friend who's African-American pastor in Houston. And I always love the way he prays before he preaches. He's an awesome preacher. He just is an incredible preacher of the Word of God. But he begins his sermons with, to his congregation, now, I was talking to the Lord this morning, and he told me to tell you. And that's where he begins. And he told me to tell you. And then he launches into his message. But his message is always filled with the Word of God. And that phrase at the beginning fits. And somewhere in there, he will talk about, now, you all don't understand. You didn't come from where I came from. And he'll always talk about the fact that he will never forget what God has delivered him from and the life that he had on the streets, or lack thereof, before he came to Christ. And that gets built into, it's in his DNA. And he can't talk about anything without talking about, let me tell you where the Lord brought me from. Let me tell you what Christ did for me. And he always builds that in, and that's part of who he is. I want that to be part and parcel of who I am and who you are and who we are as a people. We never forget where we've come from. We're never supposed to fear our enemies. Israel was told not to fear them, that God had already defeated them. But they were to remember that it was God that brought them the deliverance. The Passover was a constant and consistent reminder from generation to generation. Again, from Deuteronomy. If you say to yourself, these nations are greater than I am, how can I drive them out? Do not be afraid of them. Be sure to remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. If the great trials that you saw, the signs and wonders, the strong hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord brought you out, the Lord will do the same for all the peoples you fear. God promised his people. I always get amused when folks tell me that the Red Sea was, it just couldn't have happened. It just, there was no way that all of those waters could have just parted and they walk across on dry land. It's impossible that they now have done sufficient research to know that where they crossed the Red Sea was only about that deep. And I go, whoa, that is so cool to have drowned an entire army in that much water. That's a miracle. I don't care which way you come at it. Help yourself. At the end of the day, God brought deliverance. If you don't want to believe the water was deep, then my, an army drowned in less than a foot of water. If you are more like me that believe that there probably was a deep place where they crossed and the waters came back in on them, good. Either way, to God be glory. One of these days I'll ask him for the video and we'll see what actually happened. Okay? But between now and then, it doesn't matter. Here's what matters. Israel was in a box and they couldn't get out and God got them out. Have you ever been in a box that you didn't know how you were going to get out of? Has God been faithful? Are you still here? Sometimes things don't work out exactly the way we think they were going to, but God has a way of working things for our good. He never said in the book of Romans through the Apostle Paul that all things were good. He didn't say that. That gets misquoted all the time. What he said was, out of all things, I will bring good. That's what he said. And God brings good out of the most difficult circumstances. And we sometimes look back in the rearview mirror and say, oh, that's what you were doing. You ever been there? Ever had that experience? Oh, that's what you were doing. I didn't understand it. We are to remember that his protection and his guidance are ours. Again, Deuteronomy. Remember the Lord your God led you on the entire journey, these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, test you, to know what was in your heart and whether or not you would keep his commands. God guides us and he directs us and he leads us. And sometimes the places he leads us are a little tough. Sometimes the desert's a little dry. Sometimes the battle is a little bit difficult. Sometimes the circumstances aren't always comfortable. But the constant in all of that is that God is in control. The only thing that I don't want is I don't want to be like Israel the first time they got to the Jordan River and they had the chance to cross and they were afraid to do so. And they backed up and said, we can't do it, because they were looking at their own strength and their own ability and their own numbers, and they said, we can't do it. And God said, okay, so you haven't learned anything. Go take another lap. I don't want God to tell me to take another lap. Okay? I want to be at a place where, God, I know I can't. I know I'm not strong enough. I know I'm not good enough. I know I'm not capable. I know our numbers are not strong enough. I know all of that. But, and that's the key word, but I know you. And I don't ever want to forget your guidance and your protection are there for us. Remember, it's God that provides. It's he that gives us. Remember that it's the Lord your God that gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is today. The ability to make money. I've had people that I know that are very successful, and they just basically thumb their nose at God and say, look at what I've done. You know those people? I've known, you know, look what I've done. Look at the kingdom that I've built. Not recognizing or realizing that it was God that gave you the power to get wealth, the health in order to be able to work. I was texting back and forth with someone on Facebook this week who was taking very strong exception. And for those of you that are visiting, I'm sorry, but I am a very strong conservative, and I don't apologize for it in any way, shape, or form. And this particular person was talking about a book that she had read, and I have read the book also. And she made the point that the poor don't know how to be rich, but the rich don't know how to work because they've had everything handed to them on a silver platter. And it's the typical old saw that I've heard since the 60s. It's not a new line at all. And I've read the book, and I know exactly where the chapter is that came from. So when she finished her tirade, I just answered back and said, I agree with you that many poor people don't know how to be rich. I agree with that. They don't know. That's why you'll hear some of them that win a lottery, and within 2 weeks, all the money's gone. They don't know how to manage and what to do with it. I agree with that. And there are things that we can do to improve that. I agree with that, 1,000%. But don't tell me that there are people who don't know how to work and that everything's been handed to them on a silver platter. I said, I know folks that would be considered rich by the definition that book gives to rich. They're rich. But they work 2 and 3 jobs to put themselves through college, and they've worked 12 and 14 hour days and still do in order to provide for their family. Don't tell me that people have everything handed to them on a silver platter. I resent that, and I will say so loudly, and if that's embarrassing, geez, I'm sorry. But that's just who I am. I can't let that pass. I love my country. I love the principles upon which this nation was founded. This Memorial Day means something to me, and I'm not bashful about saying people gave their lives so that the opportunities. We were never promised an outcome. We were promised an opportunity. And opportunities are what it's all about for me, and that's what I pointed out to this lady in rather pointed terms. You may have seen the post. I tried not to be rude, but I did try to make sure she would understand. Sometimes that's a fine line. Don't forget that it's God that gives to us the wealth, the ability, the health, the strength, the provisions to enjoy. I am grateful for where we live, guys. I am grateful for this community. Every one of us who are here are privileged to be here. You know it. I know it. We all know it. We're grateful to God for what's here. But we must not ever think we got here on our own. We got here by the grace of God. Now, that does not mean, as some would have us believe, that somebody else did it for us. No, they didn't. But they did it with us. God provided. When I encourage folks to tithe and to give to the church, that's not begging for money. That's not saying to you, I want your money so that I can use it in some manner. When I mention those things to you, and I don't do it very often, but when I do it, it's an opportunity for you to worship God and to say, God, I recognize that you have provided for me. I recognize that you have given me more than I could have ever wanted, needed, hoped for. And here's just a little bit that I can give back to you. By the way, I don't preach on tithing much because that's an Old Testament concept. I prefer the New Testament. New Testament says give it all. So makes 10% sound pretty good, doesn't it? Okay. I don't mention money a lot because it's an act of worship. And that for me is something, do I need to remind you of that? Yes. But do I need to pull? Absolutely not. And I won't ever do that. I just won't. Because it's an act of worship. We are not here to see how much we can gain. We're here to see how much good we can do. And if I can teach you how that works in worship, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. This is going to be a rhetorical question. But if you have been a giver in your Christian life, you know the experience of saying sometimes, I don't know if I can do that check. But you do it because you do it, because you know it's the thing to do and it's right, and you do it and you give. And then something comes from out of left field that you didn't expect. A job, a gift, I don't know, something. And all at once, God has honored what he promised he was going to do. And you go, whoa, where did that come from? Real simple. God said, do this. You did. His task then is to bless you, and he does. Enough said. But just don't ever forget, folks, it's worth giving to God. That's something that's worth remembering, because as we give to him, he gives back to us. What does the Bible say? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how God's blessings come to us. Do you know it's a blessing just to have your health? I'm wearing these Jesus cruisers because I have a foot that is giving me fits. And so I have to wear these and I hate them. I will tell you, this last week I received a present that I almost wore today to go with my Birkenstocks. It's a tie-dyed shirt with a peace symbol right here. And Kevin and Linda thought that was funny. And I almost wore it today, and I thought, you know, it's Memorial Day. That might be a little irreverent for today. But I will warn you. Just warn, be warned, okay? And the beads and the head, yeah, we'll do all that at some point. You don't do those things to me, as you well know, without having it come back to you. All the things that we do and we give to the Lord and we share, it's because of His provision and His laugh and His blessing upon us. Today we'll partake of communion, and as we do so, we recognize that the sacrifice that was made, this is a memorial. Jesus said, every time you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Do it remembering what I gave for you. I gave my life. This weekend, we thank the soldiers that gave their lives for us. Well, above and beyond all of that, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what He did for me. Provision, everlasting peace. Provision, salvation. Provision, restoration, relationship with God. Provision, health, strength, all of those things provided in Jesus Christ. And as we partake of the communion this morning, I want us to remember that He did that for us. The last thing I would have you remember, and it's part of the communion, it's part of understanding what's going on, and I think I've told you this story before, but in 1994, there were two Christian missionaries who were invited by the Russian government just after the breakup of the Soviet Union. They were invited by their Department of Education to come to a particular orphanage in Moscow. It was a large orphanage, and to teach ethics and morals. Interesting. So they went there to teach ethics and morals. And as they did, one of the ways they taught, and they were allowed to teach, and they did it very openly, was they told the story of Jesus Christ and who He was and of His birth and of His death and of His resurrection. They told the gospel. And as they told the story to these kids, they were sitting on the edge of their seat. And as good teachers of little children do, they had a flannel graph. How many of you remember the flannel graph? I don't think any of us could have gotten through church years ago without a flannel graph, right? So they had the flannel graph, and they had little pieces of cloth, and they couldn't find construction paper in those days, so they had some colored napkins, and so they cut the napkins up and cut those up for strips of paper. And they sat and they told the story and they said, okay, now here's what we're going to do. They got little pieces of a very thin, like cardstock, and they cut those up and they said, now we want you kids to make a manger. So the kids, 4, 5, 6 years old, they made a manger and they took these little strips of napkin that they'd cut up, and that became the straw. And then they had some flannel that they had for the flannel graph, and they cut out little shapes and gave them to the kids for the baby, Jesus. And so as they were telling the story, they would make the manger, and then they would put the straw in it, and then they put the baby in it. And so then when they got all done and they'd gone all the way through the story, and they were going back now to see if the kids could remember the story. And so they were going around to the kids, and they came all the way around, and everything was great until they got to Misha. And Misha was 6. And as they looked at Misha, he'd made his little manger, and it was great. And he had the straw in it, and that was great. But there were 2 babies in the manger. And they said to Misha, what? Tell us what that's about. And he did really well telling the story of the birth of Christ right up until the point of the manger. He said, and so when she put baby Jesus in the manger, he looked up at me and he said, Misha, do you have anywhere to stay? And Misha said, no, I don't have a mama or a papa. I don't have a place to stay. And Jesus said, Misha, would you like to stay with me? And Misha said, I don't have a gift to give you. I don't have, everyone else that's come has had a gift for you, and I don't have anything to give you. And Misha said, and so then I thought and thought and thought, and I said, Jesus, how about if I keep you warm would that be a good enough gift? And Jesus looked up at me and said, Misha, that would be the best gift I ever received. He said, so I got in the manger with him, and Jesus looked at me and said, Misha, you can stay with me always. That's why we remember, folks. That's what it's about. Look, we were all Mishas. We were all orphans. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can stay with him forever. We have a home. It's sealed. It's done. It's solid. It's ours. And nothing will ever take it away. Gentlemen, ladies, would you get the communion? Let's serve. How many of you know the song that Joseph is playing? The words, our people need the Lord. When would we ever learn? People need the Lord. People need a lot of things, but a faith in Jesus Christ is the most important thing in life. People need the Lord. Yes, please. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it, said, this body is broken for you. It's a sign of covenant. This is part of the contract. My body is given for you. On Memorial Day, we remember the bodies, literally, that were sacrificed that we might have freedom. This is his body, sacrificed that we might be free from sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, he took the cup. And when you've given thanks, he said, drink all of it. This is the new covenant in my blood. Once for all, no more sacrifice of animals, no more temple, no more holy days, no more of that. This is it. This is the covenant. This is it. Wow. And he said, as often as you do it, remember, you're not an orphan anymore. You got a place to stay forever. Let's partake together. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Stand with me, would you please? Thank you, Nick. I always take very seriously our communion service. I always take very seriously the opportunity to remember the covenant. This weekend is significant in our history and as a nation, but it's very significant to us as believers. Jesus taught his disciples to pray when they came to him and they said, how do you want us to pray? And he said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Remember to pray that prayer. Don't ever forget. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. And today is a day of remembrance. When they had finished, they sang a hymn, and it sounded like this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And now I pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us until we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace, church. I love you. I really, really do.